Hey everybody, we are back with another episode of I Want to Talk Movies. My name is Andy.
And I'm Andrew. It's been a little while, Andy. How's it going?
It's been a while. A lot of things happening. We're in November, and I think I can't even remember the last thing that we talked, like, that we reviewed. And it might have been the last, like, superhero film.
We did the two Marvel and DC episodes, and then probably some... It must have been some DC or Marvel movie. I can't remember the last Marvel movie.
I think it was Flash. It might have been Flash. Oh, man. It's been a minute. But we finally have another superhero movie to talk about. So for today, we're just going to do a quick little check-in about some stuff. We're going to talk about Loki. Season 2 just ended. And then we're going to talk about our main review, which is going to be the Marvels. So Andrew, how's it been? What's been going on?
It's been pretty good. I told you, the only thing I was going to mention is I told you on a plane I watched Fast X. Perfect viewing device to watch Fast X, you know, like a 5x5 screen. But it was pretty, you know, I give it credit. I think this one was one of my, I don't think I've seen a lot of them all the way through, to be perfectly honest. So it's kind of weird to have watched this one, but I really liked it. I think it's like, it had like a pretty appropriate balance of like ridiculousness. Plus Jason Momoa, like I said, was doing a lot of heavy lifting, just being like, pretty much just like there is most ridiculous, like chaotic, probably villain I think the series has ever had.
That's so great. I need to speak, and because you mentioned Jason Momoa, and I'm probably just gonna see it just because he's in it, you know. I just don't know what else to think about the Fast X. I think my biggest thing is that I think they're gonna try to do like the, I'm just gonna compare it to this because it's been like what everyone's trying to do, like the Avengers Endgame thing where they're gonna have like all the characters try to come back, you know. Unfortunately, like, you know,
oh yeah, they totally did. Yeah. Like some of the characters from the series are not in it, and then people pop up towards the end, and you can tell like that's what they're going for.
Right. Because I think the series Dwayne Johnson
accumulated a massive amount of characters, like immense.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I think it's a fun thing, right? Because they're like, all right, new movie, let's put, who else can we now add to like the family, right? Cause that's what it says. It's all about hashtag family. In this,
I think this is the first one that John Cena's in too, right? Is that true? I've never seen him in other ones.
No, he was in 9. He played the brother in 9. He was like the villain, but he was the villain in 9. But then like he was like the Jason Statham rehabilitative thing where like
he comes into the fold.
Yeah, he becomes family. Hashtag family.
They do have a bunch of kind of like on the nose jokes about the family thing, which I think is pretty intentional, probably.
Yeah, family. That's all I can think about when it comes. Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, if Dwayne Johnson comes back for this last one, which I think he is, I'm going to watch. I'll watch the first part of X and the new one.
Are you gonna do like what we did for Avengers Endgame, where you watch all 10 of them first? You have to watch them probably in some special order too, because they do so many retcons.
I can only do so much, Andrew. I'm only human. And to watch 10, I mean.
10.
10 of them. But let's see. I think I've enjoyed half of them compared to, I think I've enjoyed like half the movies. Because, like, what is 2001? I was like, was it 2001? Yeah. When the first ones came out, and it was just, yeah, it's kind of gnarly how, like, it's so many years later now, like, over 20 years now. Just was like, what is it? It was like, what's his name? Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki, right?
Yeah.
Who like, in an interview said, like, he has given his life to Loki, 14 years of his life to Loki, which is so crazy to think about.
Which no one would have ever thought that would have happened either, given that he was a villain, right? He was just like, I mean, you're making a Thor movie, you obviously need Loki to be in that Thor movie, and that's it.
Yep. So, it's crazy. I'm like, it's, and that's kind of like, if we look at the first like Iron Man movie compared to like Endgame, like you can just see the age difference, but like, I mean, they still look good and everything. It's just, you can kind of just see how like how much time we spent with these actors and people.
Yeah,
but anyways,
yeah, so it was fun. I liked it. I think Jason Momoa was awesome. It's a, probably the best villain they've had, which is good since it's like kind of the final wrap up. The other thing I watched that new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie on the airplane too, which was dope. The art style was super cool. It was like, it reminded me of Into the Spider-Verse, not because it's like the same art style, but because it's just like unique enough from every other animated movie I've seen in the last 5 years. That it kind of had that touch to it, I think, where it's just like really unique, different art style. Turtles were cool, interesting story, and I really like that they went big with the mutants, because you know they do Mutant Mayhem and they really go all in on mutants. So there's lots of different mutants in the movie. So that was dope. I would definitely look forward to the next one.
I'm so happy you saw it. Again, I think I saw Blue Beetle and that movie back to back. I did like a double feature, and again, Blue Beetle was fun. You know, I had fun with it. But when I saw the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, that was the second one I went to. Like, I just had so much fun with it, and it was just great. So I'm glad, and I think they're gonna do a television show now with the same
in the same universe.
Or they greenlight a sequel. I gotta look up. I think it's both, but
I'm great. Sure there must be a sequel because they had that tease for Shredder Shredder. Shredder. They had the tease for Shredder at the end.
But no, I'm just excited for more because I had fun. I had a lot. Like I said, I had a lot of fun with it. So yeah, nice. I'm glad you finally got to it. So.
What about you? You been watching anything? Anything besides Loki and the Marvels?
What have I been watching recently that I No, you know what a lot of my October life went to two games.
You've been playing Spider-Man, right?
Yep. So beginning end of September I played a game called Lies of P, and that beat the living shit out of me. It was good. It's a good game, but it's very probably the hardest game I've ever played in my life. Except for Metroid Dread. You're gonna keep giving me shit for that, but okay.
I mean, if you haven't beaten it, it's technically the hardest game because it's just too hard, I guess.
I get so confused in it, and I'm gonna get back to it, I promise, at some point. But I got through Lies of P. I did actually a third game too. I did the Cyberpunk DLC, which is great. And then Spider-Man 2 came out. And it was everything I wanted in the game and more.
Did you beat it?
So let's say I took off that Friday. I waited for the game to arrive because I bought the a special edition thing. I wait for the game on Friday, started it that day. Saturday, I did a couple things, and then, but I played pretty much all of Saturday. And then Sunday, I had a couple things going on, but I played it the majority. And then I took off Monday, Tuesday, and then by Tuesday afternoon, I finished it. And I did everything possible. I did everything possible in that game, all the side quests. So, like, I 100%ed the game and I platinum it. So, I did enjoy it. I feel like I have no life now.
How many hours did that take?
That took me 33 hours.
Okay, that's not an immense amount. I mean, I've played Zelda 170 hours or something, so.
I just started picking that up too, so I want to get back into that. But I think the next time I'm going to do this is when Final Fantasy VII Rebirth comes out in February.
So. And this is still only, is this a PS5 exclusive?
So far, well, which one, Spider-Man or Final Fantasy VII?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man will be a PS5 exclusive until maybe a year or two from now.
So are the other two Spider-Man games on the Xbox One?
No, they're not going to be on the Xbox, but they're on PC.
Okay.
So you got to...
So this is the thing, like... I think the Switch 2 is around the corner, so like I can't. I would like another one, but I can't rationalize it. And the Xbox digital version is at least really cheap in comparison. But then the Xbox digital version doesn't have good first-party games that are like not good first-party. The Xbox One, I don't know. I just don't think Xbox has really good like campaign single-player games in comparison to PlayStation. And there's only a handful of PlayStation games I would really want, like the. But those Batman games are not coming out. Like, is the Suicide Squad game coming out on PS5?
I think it's supposed to come out on all platforms. So it's a Rocksteady.
All platforms.
Yeah,
see, I would, it'd be nice if the Xbox One had all of it, because I honestly, I would probably buy the $300 one, and I could get the two Spider-Man games and then Suicide Squad all at once whenever the Suicide Squad comes out. And that, for me, would be like, okay, that's enough to pull the trigger on that. But I think the cheapest PS5 is still pretty far above $300, right?
Yeah, only four, by only by 100. So the digital version is 400. Disc version is 500 at what, you know, and add tax of both of them, so add like $50 for tax or whatever. And that's pretty much what you'll get. They just came out with the PS5 Slim. So yeah, now they have like a smaller version of it, but yeah, I mean, obviously I'm biased, and I highly recommend you get a PS5 just for Spider-Man 2, and playing the other Spider-Man games, because now you can not only the 2018 one, but you have Miles Morales and then Spider-Man 2, so you have plenty of like gameplay to do. My only Spider-Man 2 was short, like people were able to beat the story mode in like 17 hours, and if you're fast, you can do everything in like 25 hours. But I took my time with it.
I don't know. I feel like that's a fair thing. Like, some games are super long. I mean, like, I don't know. I get it. You want it to be longer because the game is so great. But at the same time, it's like the game is also great because that's the time period in which the people who made the game felt was necessary, right? Like, it took a certain amount of time to make a game of that length. And if they made it longer, like, it would probably not be as high quality.
Right. And it didn't feel dragged out, which was the nice thing about this game. Yeah, it was short. Like, you know, like I'm like, oh crap, we're already at the last mission, because it like, you know, all the whole, you know, climax and everything, like it gets all crazy. And so yeah, it had like the pacing of it makes sense that like, yeah, this is where we got to this point, and with the writing, so that they did a really good job with the writing and everything. So I appreciate like the takes that they did with this. They took some risks and they did it super well, you know. And the way that
they, is there gonna be a third one? Did they tease that?
Yes, they did. So if you want spoilers, I can talk to you about it right now, or you know.
Yeah, just
or,
tell me. I don't care. It's gonna be like literally like a year. Because to be honest, I love those Batman games more. I don't think I'd ever still get the Xbox anyway, but I don't know. That Suicide Squad game would literally have to be like a 10 out of 10 for me to
which
do
I
that.
Hear so like, not, which I'm, yeah, I'm hearing there's already some issues with that one, because I don't know how true it is, but like there could be like microtransactions in it, but I don't understand how or why. I don't know what they're going to try to do with it. But if you like the Arkham, you know, trilogy and all that, was that Batman game, then like, dude, Spider-Man 2018 to like this one, you got to play them. Because again, it's similar, like, you know, style and everything, and like you're gonna love it, like 100% gonna love it. And in Spider-Man 2, yeah, so spoilers for the game, they did a take on Harry becoming Venom, which I thought was interesting and cool. And at the very end, you know, like Harry gets sick again and has to get goes in a coma, but Norman Osborn gets angry and blames Spider-Man, so then now they hint at Green Goblin for the third one.
That's good.
So we're thinking, but the weird thing is that like in the last part of the game, or the last scene, like Peter Parker saying that he wants to retire to continue doing research, and Insomniac has tweeted saying that like they're going to have Miles Morales be the main Spider-Man for their game. For the next game, I think.
They may as well. They should do that. That's cool. I mean, like, you have two. I mean, So, I mean, like, and you can always, like, they can just do another Miles Morales game, and then they can always have Peter come out of retirement for another one. Like,
yeah.
So you can still do the alternating thing. Like, something bad could happen to Miles at the end, and Peter's like, oh, fuck, like, I gotta come out for one last mission to go save Miles.
And again, I'm all for it. I'm conflicted because I have a very huge, you know, adore spot. Like, I don't know, like this huge spot for Peter Parker that has been like the Spider-Man that I grew up with and everything. But as for Miles Morales' character, they just made him so amazing as well that I'm like, yeah, I want to hang out with both of them. And Spider-Man 2 did such an incredible job with spending time with both of the characters and making them amazing that I'm like, I'm okay with it. And I'm sad because I do not want to see Peter Parker retire, you know. But I think they're just maybe I'm hoping they're just teasing that to be like, oh, man, he's going to retire. But then they do the whole thing where, like, I got to come back out of retirement, you know. And everything. And so if they can do the split thing again this next game, then I'm only gonna be even more hyped about it because I loved playing as both Miles and Peter Parker. So again, they did an amazing job with this, so I just cannot wait for the next one. I'll be 50 years old if I'm still alive and still playing these freaking games if they're this good. So that's pretty much been my what I've been up to these last few weeks and everything, and that's where I'm at. Should we just get into Loki?
Yeah, let's jump in. Let's jump straight into Loki.
Yeah. Freaking amazing season. And again, we're gonna go into spoilers and everything, but I honestly feel now that Loki is one of my favorite Marvel characters after this.
In the MCU, they've given him like a pretty incredible story arc. I think if you look at like any individual character, he has probably like top like five beginning to end kind of character trajectories, just from where he started to where he ended, and the kind of like amount of like personal growth he's gone through. It's like incredible in comparison to like, I mean, he's gone through far more personal growth than Thor, and like there was a lot of opportunity to put Thor through more personal growth than they really have.
Yeah. And I was just, I think he has had the best, you know, character growth arc compared to like any of the single, you know, characters that we've had in the Marvel Universe, you know?
Yeah. Because at the beginning too, I was a little worried about this because like, I think that first season really, really has a lot of obvious character growth that was interesting. Like where like Loki learning how to love himself, right? In this very strange way where he's also like falling in love with like an alternate reality version of himself. So this is like a weird allegory, but like it was this nice character arc. And then in the second season, I was getting a little worried about halfway through. I was like, fuck, I think this is just another description of what's going to happen with Kang. So I got a little worried there because I was like, I feel like this is not a Loki show anymore. And it just seemed like they needed another stepping stone for Kang. So I started getting really worried. But they really brought it back around when they got Loki to admit that he didn't want to lose his family. And that's what he was doing the entire time. And he's stuck in this like eternal time loop of trying to save the universe, but also just like save like these group of people that he finally somehow grew an attachment to, that he didn't have an attachment to like other people directly in his life before. So I like that they were able to pull that back, because that whole episode about Kang, I was like, I like that episode, but I was a little worried that they were like taking too much attention off of Loki as the primary protagonist of the series.
Makes sense. And I, again, 100% with you on that. It was well written, and like I feel like he has like one of the biggest sacrifices too. You know what I mean? Like, just that ending episode was so strong and crazy that like, and I love the theories that people are kind of throwing out there too. That like, he's holding together the timelines, right, and everything. And so then when you go back, you can see that the time stone is green, I think, or whatever. Or turn green.
That's funny. I didn't realize. Yeah, the time stone is green. Yeah.
So, it's just kind of a funny theory that that's the color thing. You know, that Loki's always been like that green color, and then like it just now with this, it kind of just makes sense. So I kind of was like, that's a cool theory that I like.
Well, it's all this funny loop, and I like they did really good stuff with time travel in this season. Like that episode that where they first introduced you to Ouroboros, like what is that, the second episode maybe?
I love him, by the way.
He's so funny. He's a great addition to the series. I wish he was in season one. He was so good. But that little time, and it's funny because it goes in like direct like conflict with how Hulk described time travel. But to be honest, like, it's time travel. Like, all you have to do is assume that the Hulk was wrong, right? Bruce Banner didn't fully comprehend how time travel works. Big deal. So it's not a big deal, you know. And that's the beauty of time travel. You don't really have to have solid rules. You do your best to define it as much as you can, but like, the TVA has different rules for time travel, right? Or Hulk, the way that he was experiencing time travel was through the kind of like time stream that Kang was regulating, right? I always thought that was really cool that like the prime or whatever was like the main timeline, the only things that were variants were things that would lead to like some sort of threat to Kang, right? So like, the Avengers traveling through time for whatever reason, you can rationalize that as not a problem because it wasn't a problem for Kang. So Kang's like, go ahead, do it. Yeah. I don't care. Like, all of that shit has no effect on like the creation of alternate Kangs. So like, that doesn't matter to me. But Loki always was problematic with the creation of alternate Kangs, I guess, or just he was a threat to Kang keeping and preserving the prime timeline. So, like, I just think it's cool because it's just, like, you can do whatever it is that you want. And that episode where they have, like, Loki in, like, a state of almost disposition where he's in the past telling Obi stuff and then you jump to the future and Obi's, like, suddenly, like, oh, yeah, I remember that now.
That was great.
It was just, but like, the way it was filmed was just super funny and cool.
And it's funny how you mentioned because, like, I feel like that's just, it made sense the way it could work like that, right? And again, it's just incredible. I think it's just incredible to see, like, just how much growth he has and how much dedication he has to trying to save, you know, the, you know, this like whole universe and trying to understand it. Like, I love how he's like, well, how long will it take me? I think an episode, what's it called? Episode, there were six episodes, right? Episode five. He's like, or was it this episode? Like, how long will it take me to learn?
I think it was episode six.
Episode six. Like, how long will it take me to learn like everything you guys already know? And it's like, oh, it might take you like centuries. And it's like, all right, a century later, you know, he literally like spent over 100 years trying to understand and comprehend all this crap so he can like understand time and all that kind of deal. And more, because he's like, yeah, I'm a god, so I got to figure this out. So it's just like the dedication and like, I think it's just such a crazy major sacrifice, you know?
Yeah.
And he gets his throne at the end, right? Is that
He gets his throne. I mean, the names of the episodes were great. And what was it? The final episode was named Glorious Purpose.
Yep.
And this whole season has been like a time loop, right? This whole season is a loop. Loki is stuck in a time loop pretty much constantly going around in a circle trying to fix this problem. And you kind of like, you don't go back to the very beginning of Loki, but you go back very, very early where you go back effectively to the Avengers when he had that phrase where he said, I am burdened with glorious purpose.
Yeah.
And he was seeking a throne that he wasn't prepared to take. And he was taking it, you know, out of force and like trying to subjugate the people below him. And now you have this awesome character arc where he gets a throne through self-sacrifice in an attempt to like save the multiverse.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, a couple other things. I think this is like a stellar performance from like Owen Wilson, man. Like this guy, like I haven't seen Owen Wilson in so long, but he's just like so charming and funny.
He's underrated in almost every aspect. I just feel like I want to see more of him in more stuff. I've always, like you said, I've always found him charming in like everything that he's in. So I'm like, I just want to continue. I want to see him to continue to get more work and everything. So he's just been great, a great addition, and I love his character. I love him as what's it called in this whole, just the whole time. Yeah, I just like him in this whole show.
His character is so hilarious, and I really, really love that one scene in the elevator where they're talking about how disgusting it looks when Loki's slipping through time, and it pans over to that lady in the corner that you don't know is there. That was great. That was so classic. Where like he's, and the thing with like the way he responds to like his skin being peeled off and stuff, and like it's just like his, I don't know, I the way that he, you know, kind of hit those lines and stuff, it was just like super, super comical and funny.
Dude, I just, yeah. And that's what makes it like, it's funny because like and we might get a little bit into this after we talk about the Marvels, but like these kind of shows, these kind of characters and stuff is what makes me stay on the Marvel train, right? Because I just, when you give me good writing, good story, like with characters, I'm just gonna, I just want to be in it, you know, and just observe and watch this, you know, as more, you know, and wanting more and stuff like that. So it's just kind of like it's been refreshing because I feel like there's been, I think we talked about it last time too, there's been a bit of a shakeup with the Marvel Universe with like the recent movies and.
But yeah, Secret Wars. We'll get to this when we get to Marvel. Secret Wars like ruined some parts of the Marvels, I think. Well, not ruined it, but it like presented difficulties for the storytelling they wanted to do there.
Yeah, I just
Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion.
Yeah. I just like was like, okay, you know, and so, and again, we'll talk more about that. I feel like a you know, aftermath of the Marvels review. But overall, man, like I just love every bit of this.
I'm gonna ask.
Yeah.
What do we think about? What do you think about Kang and the future of Kang?
I think it's open ended to where they can work with it or find a way to move around it, right? Because I feel like, and this is rumors that I've heard too, because I kind of get spoiled with like having stupid social media. I don't know what comics, and you know more about this, but like, doesn't Doctor Doom take out Kang?
I don't know about that. I mean, like, Doom and Kang have some interactions. They've had interactions before. I think they probably both respect each other. There was a cool Doom series with Kang randomly popping up. I have pretty strong feelings about this. I really like Jonathan Majors' interpretation of Kang. I think he nails it. I liked I even liked Victor Timely in this. I think he's a great actor. He's very Shakespearean. I think he puts. I still like that the way he did Ant-Man. I thought he nailed Kang in Ant-Man. I really want to see Kang in the future. I think it's quite interesting that Disney has not pulled the trigger to like get rid of him yet. Because you can look at a lot of other areas, and this is not a judgment call on what he's being accused of or whether or not he should or shouldn't be fired. Sure. But a lot of other probably entities would have fired him now already. Like, look how fast the writer for or the voice of Rick and Morty got like booted. Like, that was fast.
Sure.
And albeit we're talking about Rick and Morty and not like a multi-billion-dollar franchise. But I think Disney has been going very, very slow with this. I think the SAG-AFTRA, all that stuff probably allows them to reconsider some things just regardless, because I think some people would make the case that like, regardless of like whatever PR problems Jonathan Majors may or may not present and whatever problems he as an actor presents, I think some people would argue that also Kang's storyline is not working as well as they would have liked. I don't think it's because of Kang. I think it's because there's no team united that has obviously going to take him on. Although I think now there is a team actually in place that's forming. So I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to pivot anyway, because maybe they just think that the approach that they took for the MCU under Bob Chapek was maybe suboptimal. And then Bob Iger came back in the last, like, I don't know, year. And maybe supposedly he is kind of redirecting the way that he's talking to Kevin Feige. And Kevin Feige has clearly been like clearing out some shit. Like, I don't know if you heard, they threw out like 4 episodes of Daredevil to restart, which is probably like millions of dollars to throw out those episodes. Like, I would think tens of millions of dollars to throw out some of those episodes if you filmed 4. Depending on how much post-production was done on those.
And I understand, because I feel like I would also want to be careful, because I would, part of it too is like, you want to make sure that like it's something that the audience is going to enjoy, right? So I feel like with the feedback they've been getting, right, since like, what's it called? Since She-Hulk, Ms. Marvel, and you know, and Secret Invasions, like, they've been harshly criticized. and everything. So
I think everything's been pretty good still. I mean, I get it. The funny thing is like they're coming into the same problems that comic books have. Like, and that the fact is like these stories, as they get more complicated, they attract more niche audiences. That's kind of just how it is. Like, and these stories are really complicated, and they drew, like we said, remember I had that list of all these open storylines that like phase five left open? They were just dropping storyline after storyline, and it's just they're doing way too many, way too fast. And they clearly had no short-term way of following up and addressing those. And then on top of that, the SAG-AFTRA stuff slows down everything. So there's like probably storylines people have just forgotten about. Like there's so many.
Yeah.
So I selfishly want to see Jonathan Majors fulfill the role of Kang. I think at the bare minimum, and I still don't understand why like they don't want to do this anymore in Hollywood, just recast him if you have to do it. Just who cares? They can find another talented actor. Like Jonathan Majors doesn't own this role. He's doing a really good job, I think, but like find another guy who can do it. Like I don't get it. Sure. Like they don't want to recast anyone. I even have a hot take, and this is a real hot take for some people. I think they probably should have recast T'Challa, actually, in retrospect.
Really?
Yeah, because like, and there's not like any of us know him personally, but like I can't imagine if he was such a, you know, he seems like he was like a really great person. I think it's very realistic to think that like maybe he would have wanted what he created to live on, or like the way that he interpreted the character to live on with people. I don't think that's so crazy to think that that's possibly something he would have wanted, like his art to continue on. I also don't think it's like so weird to think that like Chadwick Boseman is a person who's not necessarily should be only known as Black Panther. Like he was a real human being who like people cared about and loved, and he affected people in like really, really important ways. So like, I just think you could recast him as a dedicate. I think the recasting could also still be a dedication to him. You know what I mean? Instead of making a movie that was still good, but also like it was really, really a sad movie, right?
Yeah.
Because the premise of the movie, it's inherently sad, and it has to be almost.
Yeah, I'm just trying to.
They could have recast him, and it wouldn't have been this like shot at him as a person. It would have been like, it could have been recast as a dedication to his life and what he gave the entertainment world.
Right. It's hard to determine, right? Because it the representation just meant much more than I think I could, you know, express or explain, right? Because again, him as T'Challa was like, you know, one of the first big Black superheroes that got represented, right, by Chadwick. And with Chadwick being, you know, such a strong force with his character, was how he represented, how he, you know, came, just the energy that he brought with that character, it was, I guess, like hard to come, you know, it's going to be something that's hard to, for me, hard to like replace, you know? I guess it's like, it's one of those things where like, man, he owned it, did it so amazing that it's going to just be hard to replace it. But like, and from what he like represented for like his culture and community, you know, the Black community.
It would be hard. It would be hard for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's something that I've been thinking about. But I, at least with Kang, I'm just like, dude, like Kang is such a great villain. To me, it seems like it'd be just such a massive waste if they somehow just like write him off, because like they want to do this pivot potentially to Dr. Doom. And I was just like, dude, you're just like wasting Doom, Kang. Like, I'm trying to think of like the best Avengers villains you have. And like, Doom and Kang are like two of the best.
What's it called? I just was Jonathan Majors saying, like, we don't know if those allegations are still like, it's still under investigation, right? There haven't been any.
Yeah. I don't know if it's at court yet, but yeah, it's still.
Yeah.
I mean,
so there's no ruling, which I think Disney is buying their time than trying to like jump to conclusions and be like, hey, because like, don't get me wrong, it's a bad rep, but it's like, let's say Jonathan Majors comes out innocent from this, right? And then they're like, okay, cool, we can continue working with him. at least with the Rick and Morty, there was the situation, there was proof that he was domestically violent towards his partner and everything.
Yeah, but he was also found not guilty. I mean, the problem with this is, like, this is going to get too detailed, and neither of us are lawyers, but the U.S. justice system is not necessarily well-designed to actually help support victims of certain types of violence.
Sure.
Like, the types of evidence that you often need in order to, like, present, like, a case that's legally viable is incredibly challenging, particularly in the case of, like, I think, domestic violence. So, like, I get it. Like, we also, like, we should adhere to, like, yes, if he's found legally innocent, he's legally innocent. But then there's also, like, there's a big conflict here about, like, the U.S. justice system and whether or not it's serving well. And this is a huge can of worms that I'm sure not fucking getting into right now. but technically, sure. I think that guy was, I forget his name, but he was found innocent shortly after he was removed from the show.
Sure. But this is just me and my assumption that maybe they're just buying their time with Jonathan Majors because they had such big plans for him.
I think they because it's a multi-billion. Yeah. They got a crap ton of money on the line with the Kang storyline.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think they're biding their time. And I think SAG-AFTRA gave them extra amount of time to sit down and rethink some things, and think about whether or not they want to change anything. Because, you know, like, theoretically, I think Secret Wars would have come out, like, next year or something.
It was supposed to, 2025 and 2026, or, no, 2024 and 2025 were supposed to be the next Avengers years. But with, like, all the delays, like, again, with the strike happening, the feedback, the wanting to rethink of the, you know, rethink the phases and stuff like that, like cutting back on a lot of content because there was just a bunch being crapped out all at once and to keep up with.
Well, they weren't. Yeah. I think they were just dropping too many storylines at once and they didn't have adequate time to follow up on all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting. But here's the funny thing, going back to the Loki thing, is that, like, how they reference 616 and how, like, they mentioned, oh, yeah, that king got taken care of somehow.
Yeah. So we'll get into this in the Marvels, actually, but maybe we can do a little bit of it now. So I think there's been also some, like, you know, I think they haven't paid quite as much attention about, like, in trying to describe, like, what exactly is going on with the multiverse. Like, they keep saying the multiverse is in peril, but then, like, not a lot of bad stuff has happened quite yet, let's say. I mean, we saw some incursions happening in Doctor Strange. So I have a theory. My theory is that the stuff from Spider-Man and the stuff from Doctor Strange happened as a result of Loki Season 2. And that shit was, like, the result of, like, Loki, like, moving the time loom and, like, kind of freeing the multiverse. So, like, the multiverse was, like, stretching and, like, there's new branches and stuff and then they're pruning stuff and, like, it's all being forced to the time loom. So, like, shit's not working well. And as we found out, the time loom was just a failsafe. It was only designed to preserve one timeline. It was never designed to handle all of the timelines. That's what it was. So I think all the crazy shit was happening as a result of the time loom kind of trying to handle all of those branches. And then when Loki holds it back together, it stabilizes. But I think the Marvels broke something with a different type of energy that was separate from Loki's season 2, is my kind of guess. And I guess this is all very loose because I really don't think they put as much detail into trying to make this connected, at least not in the same ways that they made the Infinity Stones kind of like this through line that was going, right? You kept finding where the Infinity Stones were kind of scattered. This is much more complicated because it involves time travel. And then clearly, like, the direction that they were moving in was kind of fast. Right. So that's the best conclusion I can come to kind of connect this stuff. But maybe we should just jump into the Marvels now.
Let's do it. The Marvels literally just came out this past weekend because we're recording on the 12th. So the Marvels is another pretty much sequel to Captain Marvel with two new characters, which is Kamala as Miss Marvel, and then we have Monica Rambeau as Spectrum, right? But we don't, or Spectre, what is it? Did I say it right? Spectre?
I think it's, I forget which one it is. I was actually thinking in my head it was maybe Photon. I think it's Spectre, though.
Spectre, yeah. So, yeah, so this was, what's it called, directed by Nia DaCosta, and yeah, we have Brie Larson coming back and whatnot for this, and let's just start with, like, I mean, yeah, obviously spoiled and everything, but let's start with, like, overall feeling of the movie. So, go for you go first.
My overall feeling is, like, I really enjoyed this. I think this is one of the best Marvel things, at least movie-wise, to come out in a long time, which is interesting. I think I enjoyed it more than Black Panther, even. Because, like I said, I think in retrospect, I like Black Panther. I do think it's quite dour for obvious reasons.
Sure.
Guardians 3 is a high contender here, but I really like this. I think high level, I think Kamala steals the show and her family steal the show. And if you pull them out, the movie is not nearly as funny and entertaining. And I think it's interesting, the other observation, it has kind of the opposite problem that most Marvel movies have, in the sense that the beginning third, the first third, is like way too fast and confusing. But the second and third third of the movie is like paced super well, at least for me during my experience. So I really like the middle and back end of it, like, I think more than the front end, which is interesting.
100%. My first overall thing is I found this movie to be fun. Like, this movie was just fun. And I, 100% for me, Miss Marvel, Kamala, she stole the show, was probably, like, the fan person in me that, like, you know, for, like, if I were to be in that world and seeing all the superheroes, you know, like, I just vibed her vibes of, like, all the characters and stuff. And she just made it fun. I did think there were some issues with it, but I do, so, and I didn't, I want to say maybe I did probably enjoy this possibly more than Ant-Man overall. And again, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was just, to me, was just kind of special in its own way. I just,
Guardians is probably the best of the bunch of the most recent ones. I don't know, I would still put this up at the top, kind of Guardians, this one, and like maybe Doctor Strange.
See, I like, I'm trying to defer which one I like more compared to, like, Multiverse of Madness or this one. Because they both feel about the same. Like, but maybe because I like the characters more in this one. But I'm trying to figure out how I feel about it. Because the, again, there were some parts that, like, were kind of weak to me.
Which parts? What do you think?
I was having trouble liking Carol Danvers' character.
Yeah, I kind of agree. It's kind of a bummer because, like, Carol's cool. Yeah. And I feel like Carol should be, like, the new Cap.
Yeah.
Like, she should be the one. And you can tell, like, people want her to be the Cap, but she's not ready to be the Cap, which is weird because she's been she's theoretically been Captain Marvel for, like, 30 years. So she's the most experienced hero, actually, that's in the MCU. But, like, because she hasn't gotten a lot of screen time, they're still trying to do this thing with, like, provide her with some character growth. So they wanted to, I guess, provide some sense of vulnerability for her and show her, like, growing into the role of Captain Marvel, even though it's been 30 years and we saw her in Endgame.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of confusing because I agree. Like, she was very, like, she's just, like, very, like, direct and, like, not, she had moments of funness, but she's, like, just, like, so kind of stiff and stuff, which is kind of a bummer because I really like Carol a lot, and I think she should be leading effectively. Like, she should be the one leading the Avengers whenever Kang comes. I mean, like, I don't know who else is gonna do it.
I mean, we have our new Captain America. Well, and then, okay,
yeah, he can't, so, do it. I don't know, he's not a superhuman. Like, I just feel like, I get it, like, he's Cap now, but
yeah,
he's not a superhuman. And also, like, I love Anthony Mackie, but his character, like, just doesn't have the heart, in my opinion, that like Chris Evans has in terms of, like, the leadership that they've built for him.
Sure. And if we spend more time, and I think it was the story that was brought with the with Carol Danvers, you know, situation, right? Like, her not giving us an explanation of why the AI was just, you know, or, like, any more further, you know, like, I don't know. Like, they did explain to us why the AI was destroyed, right? But there was no communication. They did the whole thing where, like, there's no communication, which is why two parties hate each other, right? So, yeah. Like, the whole Kree didn't understand that they were being ruled by this AI machine. That Carol just like, oh, yeah, this thing bad. Me go destroy it. And then,
well, honestly, maybe, like, the Kree liked it, though. But you're right. They didn't explain it because, like, the AI thing took advantage of Carol. So Carol destroyed it. But, like, there could have been an immense amount of nuance there that we missed out on that led to that Kree civil war that we just have no idea what happened. Right. Maybe the something intelligence, I should know, the Supreme Intelligence.
The Supreme Intelligence,
like, it could have been leading the Kree in a great direction for what the Kree believed was good, best for their society, even though they were, like, pretty much exterminating the Skrulls, I guess. But yeah, you're right. We just miss out on that nuance and those details about what led to the Civil War.
And so, like, the whole movie just keeps making Carol look like an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, without her being a charming character, it's just like Carol destroyed the god of these people, right? Without any explanation, any further explanation. You know, because I don't know if it's because of, like, the entitlement that Carol has for having these superpowers, because she is probably one of the most powerful superheroes, right? Or whatever. But that the lack of, like, writing in that sense, it kind of was putting me off, because I really wanted to like Carol. I'm a fan of Brie Larson, so I'm like, I want to like her character. But I think my biggest fault for this one is just that particular scene that made it throw it off or whatever. So there was that part. And then I just...
Which is a bummer, too, because, like, how many times have we seen Carol and they're still, like, I don't know, like, they haven't fully developed her character yet, but we've seen her so much. Like, how many more opportunities realistically do we even get now to have... Yep. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand why you can't just have, like, I don't know. Like, they did it so well with Cap. They gave Cap an immense amount of, like, character development in who he is. But, like, I just think they really threaded this needle well where, like, Captain America, like, he was still, like, a Boy Scout, but he wasn't afraid to do what he thought was right. And he wasn't afraid to be on, like, the wrong side of the law if he thought the law was wrong. So you had this cool balance where, like, he could be perceived as a badass because, you know, he would go against the U.S. government if he thought it wasn't in, like, the interest of the U.S., you know, right. Or if he didn't think it was in the interest of, like, just the Commonwealth and stuff like that. And he, like, clearly had some doubts and he felt bad about stuff, but he always found it in himself to, like, pull everyone together and do what he thought was right. And I think this is what you need from Carol. And they totally did not do that with her.
And that's the big thing, like, I feel like character development 101, right? What makes a great character is knowing their values. And you gave a great example of Captain America, right? First thing Captain America that I was like, in the first movie, it's just like, I don't like bullies. Anyone who's being an asshole, he's going to, you know, go toe to toe with them. Second, you know what I mean? Like, he's always so willing to, like, the sacrificial part of himself, always trying to, like, you know, do what's right, whatever it takes. You know, and whatnot. So, like, his values were set straightforward. And we're like, all right, cool. We know what he's about, kind of deal. And then we see that grow with him as we start to hang out with him more, you know? And like you said, it was like, even if it's like defying, like, the laws that, you know, against, you know, whatever new rules that the United States, you know.
He defied U.S. government law multiple times. He really betrayed Tony, right, in Civil War. Like, he really betrayed Tony just because he was trying to save his best friend. And he just couldn't bring, and he made a mistake, right? He wished he shouldn't have done that. And that kind of led to the fact that the Earth was not prepared for Thanos. So it's like, I don't know. I agree with you. I think it's an unfortunate misstep that Brie Larson's Captain Marvel was not written in a way that's a little more likable here.
Right. And that's, like, again, that's just a small part of, like, just one of the misses. There are two more things. Like, I just wasn't a fan of the singing. Like, I know it was creative, but the
I thought that was hilarious. You didn't like that scene? I thought that was super funny.
It was
things, so, like, I thought that fit, and it didn't overstay its welcome. It was like 5 minutes, and then it was done.
Yeah, it just felt cringy. I did, you know what did it for me though? Why I was okay with it is because I, again, Kamala's character, like, in just enjoying like the music and vibing, and then
it
Monica
was funny. She was
like,
the only one dancing. Like, she was dancing through it and stuff. She's like being a little kid. So like, I thought that was funny.
Yeah. So I thought that was great. The other part that I thought was like, when they added extra, like, so. And I wasn't, you know, it's one of those things where, like, it could have been here, there, or not there. It was the whole cats moving people from one port to another, you know, that whole side thing. I think we could have gone in a different direction or spent time further developing the characters rather than, like, having a whole scene of, like, you know, a ship going to pieces or whatever, you know?
The movie moves fast, and, like, that's the thing. Yeah. I think that's my primary criticism of the movie, is that it's very fast.
Yeah,
it's short. It's the shortest MCU movie I think they've made. The first like third is really, really short, and it's like moving. They're not explaining a lot what's going on. And the thing is like, this is following up on a movie and two TV shows, and the fact that first third of the movie is so fast, I wonder if they're just gonna like throw off so many people, like what is going on. And I think they could have used that for, I think they could have added like 10, 15 minutes just to get a little bit more background on what Carol was doing during that 30 years and a bit more of the motivation of the villain. Because to be honest, like, I actually liked the villain from a motivation standpoint, because lots of villains are just motivated by revenge on a single person. But I liked that she was motivated to like save her people, even though she was doing it by like ruining other societies.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that's a more relatable motivation that they had, at least, even though the Kree have been, like, an incredibly violent group of people. But I wish they had, like, 10 more minutes on her. It's just the same as, like, Gore, the God Butcher. Like, Gore was great. They needed 10 more minutes to, like, flesh out the motivations there. And I wish they did it with her, too, a little bit.
Yeah. So, and again, and that's where I'm, like, They could have done without some scenes, like the whole, like I said, the whole subplot of the ship breaking down and all the cats, you know. Yeah, it was fun. I saw the movie with my niece, and she had a blast seeing like all the kitties, you know, around. But as for like, you know, story wise and everything, like, was that really necessary? Probably not. Could we have done something different? Probably, you know. So. Besides that, like, again, I do enjoy, I'm a sucker for montages. I do enjoy, like, teams coming together, you know. Like, I would have liked to spend more time seeing, you know, the three main kind of, like, working together, developing together, and stuff like that. And maybe some character growth through that sense. Because, again, the whole loss of Monica Rambeau going to the other side of the, you know, the ripple or the rip, like, did not feel so impactful. It's just like, oh man, now I'm on the other side. All right, bye.
I think though, like for the audience, at least I was just like immediately like, okay, well, like you're gonna go get America Chavez, right?
Right.
Like that's the first thing I thought. I was like, okay, someone's gonna go find America Chavez and they're gonna get her back that way. But I get it. It was a little rough. I did think, man, the parents are so funny. Those parents are hilarious. God. Like the comments that they're always making. And I just love the fact that they know that she's a superhero, because this is so uncommon. It's like the exact opposite of the classic Spider-Man superhero trope where the family doesn't know and it's always causing mayhem and problems and stuff. And it makes the character like so sad and lonely all the time.
Yeah.
I just love that they support her. Like her mom is always worried about her, but like, it has a fun enough tone, even though she's being put in like literally death's like way. The mom, like, I guess she's like either spiritual enough or religious enough to believe that her daughter was chosen for a greater purpose. So she supports her, even though she's terrified. So yeah. I like that her mom is like really protective, but at the same time supportive. And then the brother always has some funny little comic shtick that he's doing and stuff. So like, and the dad is great. So the family, I think if you pulled them out of it, like this movie, I don't know what this movie would look like, because they're an immense amount of just like warm comic relief.
No, and they were great. Like their characters were just great. And their interactions was like it felt like a family, you know, and they just, that dynamic was just so amazing, the chemistry, and I love the parents and everything. So I, that's something like Kamala and her, like, they pretty much stole the show for me and everything, you know. So I mean, I can't pronounce her name, Paris, who played Monica Rambeau. Like, I think she's an amazing character. I liked her character in this too. You know, so I want to see her in more stuff. But yeah, for me, if it wasn't for Miss Marvel, Kamala's character, then yeah, I don't know how this movie, I don't think I would have liked it as much as I would have, you know. So there's that.
Yeah. Okay. But unless, overall, I think it's an upward trend for sure in terms of, like, I think this and Loki at the same time, I think these are both solid entry points. Well, solid entries into the MCU, especially given, like, we didn't really mention it, but, like, this Skrull mess, it's just, like, it's such a mess what they did with the Skrulls. Like, the fact that Carol and Sam somehow, like, or Fury just somehow screwed this up for 30 years and have not delivered anything to the Skrulls is, like, a crazy embarrassment on their behalf. And then the fact that they just, like, threw them off to, like, Valkyrie? And what does that even mean? They go to Earth? I was like, you can't put the Skrulls on Earth after what happened in Civil War, or not, after what happened in Secret Invasion, right?
Right.
You can't be there. Like, that's not good. They're going to get killed. Like, so that's, I don't know. Like, it just seemed like they're like, okay, we don't want to deal with this problem anymore. Like, the Skrulls are done. And I was just like, come on, guys. You really screwed that up.
It's one of those things where, like, I think they should have had, like, a... They could have gone in a different direction with the Skrulls, and should have gone in a sense where they should have just concluded that story by finding a whole new, in a vast galaxy, find a whole new.
They should have found him, yeah.
Yeah.
Secret Invasion should have been a wrap up to that storyline. Yeah. And for some reason it wasn't. And I just don't know why. And, like, Secret Invasion also should have been the TV version of Winter Soldier. It should have been, like, a really cool espionage story. And it also wasn't.
Well, and that's what I was expecting, because it was Nick Fury. I'm like, give me a cool spy show, you know. But you know, not what we got, and that's where, again, and obviously nothing's gonna be perfect. This is, like, you know, some of the messy parts or whatever, you know, which is bound to happen. But like you said, I was content with this movie. I thought it was fine. I had a lot of fun with it. So, like, at the end of the day, that's pretty much what I want, you know, from a movie, is just have a good time, some good characters, and going from there. You know, again, it's just like, that's what my biggest point is, just, yeah, the whole Carol thing. I'm just like, I wish I want to like her more. So make me like her more. So
I really hope Brie Larson doesn't walk away from the role, because I've heard that this movie's not going to do well financially, which we should maybe talk about that, like, what's happening with that. But I also heard, like, I think just, it's unfortunate, but with, like, social media and the way that, like, I think, like, the psychological and just, like, mental stress that comes with playing any character that has some sort of, like, really long, prolific history in another medium with, like, a rabid fan base is probably often just, like, it. If you don't get it in the way that the fan base likes, it probably just makes it not worth your mental energy, right? Doing it. Like, if Brie Larson just has to deal with, like, so much bullshit from people and fans who don't like this, like, if I was her, I'd be like, I'm just going to go do other movies where, like, this doesn't happen anymore. Because I heard there's rumor mill running that, like, she was a little disappointed in the way that some of the movie went. And if it doesn't perform well financially, like, it's also not a great sign for, like, her future roles, let's say, at least solo films.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate. You know, there's always hope is what I'm going to say. There's always hope. As for this is where I get kind of cynical with the people, right? Where the fan base can be really toxic, especially with, like, people who like to be gatekeepers and everything and whatnot. It's just kind of like the whole, and I don't know if I want to say I'm, like, possibly guilty about it when it comes to, like, the Spider-Man stuff, right? But also I want to be open-minded to, like, what new things that are coming, right? Like,
no, I don't think you're yelling at people. I think Brie Larson physically just, like, she just receives probably, like, so much bullshit from fans online, and it like she has to be online, I would assume, because she has to market herself in certain ways, or maybe she has people who do it. But there's probably just other scrutiny that comes with it when she's just living her life that may be unpleasant to have to deal with too.
It's true. I mean, and that's the shitty thing, you know. Like again,
like if I ever bumped into Brie Larson, I would never be like, oh, that movie sucked. I'd be like, oh, kick ass. Like, I love that movie. Thank you.
I would probably maybe propose to her. Not really, but no. I like the way that she works, and again, I think Carol Danvers can be a great character. It's just that like it just didn't deliver, you know. That she's still awesome, and like I like her powers and like what they did, you know. Then yeah, like, but it's not the writing and everything wasn't on her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And one question before we go to the post-credit scenes.
Yeah.
Do you think that because everyone knows that these movies will all be on Disney Plus, I don't know, within 3-4 months, if these movies don't like knock it out of the park, just in terms of like online internet / critic buzz, they're just fucked?
It's hard to say.
Or at least not fucked, but like maybe the standard for how much these movies make in a cinema is now different. If you know this movie will be on your streaming service by end of January.
It depends on the fan base, right? Like it depends on the fan base. If like the hardcore Marvel fans are just like, I'm starting to hate these movies.
But the hardcore Marvel fans are not enough to make $1 billion either. Like you need general audience. If you want to make a $1 billion film, it's got to be general audience, right?
Yeah. I'm just like was promoting, and I just think there is a slight driving force with the Marvel fan base of hyping it up, you know, that will kind of drive others, you know, general fan base to kind of be more willing. But I also
that's true. Think, like a good word of mouth helps.
Yeah.
I mean, Guardians made good money.
Yeah, they made good money because again, like there's here's the thing. There's a foundation. And again, this is kind of like a little bit sidetracked, but like there's a foundation of like why there's maybe like some kind of fatigue with the Marvel stuff, because we're getting these new characters, we're getting all these new stories, plot lines, we're getting some recycled plot lines or whatever, you know, hero beats generic villain, blah, 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 all that kind of deal. We've been seeing it since X-Men, Fox movies in '90. You know, so like it's again, we're getting a lot more than we used to get of this. And so people are kind of getting tired of it. But also we are not with the characters that we kind of grew up with. Right. Like part of me misses the fact that we're not going to ever see, you know, like that we're not going to see Robert Downey Jr. as often. You know, we're not going to see Chris Evans as Captain America, you know, and everything is often or whatever, you know? So like, I do like miss hanging out with those characters, and they're going to be like no new content. Right. Just like part of me wants a solo Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movie, because from, you know, this is kind of a trigger from like last night talking to my brother about the different Spider-Mans, because like, I feel like Andrew Garfield is like showed to me, like, I think could be potentially the best Spider-Man out of the three. But
I think he was too hip, but, I like the Andrew Garfield ones, but I think he was a little too cool, and I think
in No Way Home
was too lame.
Yeah, in No Way Home is my main argument of why I think he could potentially like, you know, show to be like the best like Peter Parker / Spider-Man. But anyways, it kind of going back to my point of like being with the characters that we are comfortable with, that we know, is something that I think is also kind of lacking, and the connection between everything, right? Because there's just been so much added and all that kind of deal. Like there's no direct knowing there's a lead up, right? There's no big bad. There's no nothing because of all the shit that's happening.
Well, like, there's a bad guy, but there's no team. That's the problem. There's a bad guy. There's no team that's obviously going to deal with that threat. I think the team will be built like almost right before, or if not built right before, like in the movie, the team might be built.
Right, right.
And that might be what they're trying to do intentionally, but.
But let's go to the last scene of the movie, right? The very last scene, we see we see Kamala go to New York, and all of a sudden we see her in Kate Bishop's room. We see Kate Bishop show up, and then she's like, "Hey, I'm putting up a team. You want to join, please?" And then credits. So is that going to be the start of the Young Avengers?
I think so. I think what the plan was is the Young Avengers, I think we're gonna take on Kang. I think that makes the most sense to me. I mean, I don't think it matters that they're children or they're teenagers and stuff. I always thought that the next Avengers movie would have been named either Young Avengers or New Avengers. I thought that would have been really appropriate, given that like the original team like effectively disbanded because most of them either died or retired.
So who do we have so far though for
the we have a Hawkeye, we have Kamala, we also have in the Captain America and Falcon show or Winter Soldier and the Falcon, the son or the kid, he's a superhero. Remember the teenager who was like the nephew of the other guy who got the super soldier serum?
Yeah, I remember him.
He's a superhero. I forget his name, but he is a superhero too. And then you have the Maximoffs, Wanda's kids, but like we don't know how or if they'll be brought into the fold, but they were also Young Avengers at one point in time. And then we have Hulk's son. That could be a Young Avenger too.
So we literally got that introduced at the end of She-Hulk.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I'm
trying to think if there's anyone else. I don't think there's anyone else.
The one person that we're missing is we're missing Stature, and because she's a face also, right? Cassie Lang.
Because they mentioned her. They mentioned, so yeah, then there's like an Ant-Man analog. So yeah, there's like six or seven of them that you could put in that team. And I'm pretty sure one of the most famous Young Avengers storylines is them fighting Kang.
Got it. And I'm wondering who would be the one leading them? Would it be Kamala or would it be Captain America?
You know what I think would be great? Spider-Man.
But that's in the comics, right? Or do you think
Tom Holland? There was a new Avengers team that had Spider-Man, Wolverine, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, some others. I think it was pretty much a reason they wanted to just put all the popular people on a team, and like those were the popular ones at the time. So new Avengers, Spider-Man was in the new Avengers. I don't think he's ever been young enough to be on the Young Avengers, but at least, I mean, our version of Spider-Man is still quite young.
Sure.
So I think you either do that or you have like an adult, let's say, figure in the room who's like the man behind the chair, maybe.
Right. But I mean, I'm all for it. I'm just curious. So
You could have Anthony Mackie for all we know. He could be like, you know what, guys, like I'm old. Like I got my suit. Like I am not paralyzed and I appreciate that. So like I will help you guys and provide you with intel. But like I'm not a field op anymore.
Yeah. So we'll see. Yeah, I'm excited. So we'll see what the new team is going to bring, you know. And maybe that is what they're leading toward. Maybe they are leading towards the Kang Dynasty being like a Young Avengers versus...
Because you either do that or you do the other people we still have, which is like the new Avengers, I guess, let's say, which would be like Shang-Chi, Doctor Strange, maybe Spider-Man could be either one, Captain Marvel. So like all like She-Hulk, all of these newer or remaining adult Avengers who are still kind of in the fray could do it.
Gotcha. That'd be cool. Like, yeah. So, I mean, and again, I guess I want to feel hyped and I want to see what the next lead up is. And going from there.
Okay, Andy. And then how did you feel about the post credit scene?
Beast looks a little weird since he's now CGI'd, but I'm excited.
Was it the same voice as someone who's done Beast before, though?
That is the voice of the original Beast from the 90s live action.
It was, wasn't it? Okay, it sounded like him. It sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's the same actor. He also kind of like also leaked it that he was, you know, playing Beast again.
Oh, really? I'm glad I didn't see that leak, because yeah. I was legit surprised. I was like, oh, wow, they pulled in the X-Men again. Cool.
Yeah. So now we know that Monica Rambeau is in the universe of the Fox X-Men. So Patrick Stewart.
So you think this is the Fox X-Men universe?
It is.
Like, I think because that's his voice, this is the Fox. Oh, that's cool. Okay, because I kind of was thinking that, but I wasn't quite sure, because the one thing that I did notice was, like, he said this is impossible. So then from that, you know, it's not the one that Doctor Strange went to, where you also saw that other Xavier played by Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart. Yeah, exactly. And he said, you know, let me go talk to Charles. So hopefully if Patrick Stewart is still game and is still doing okay, like
Patrick Stewart doesn't age. I think he's totally cool. They can have him do this forever, I think.
Oh man, he's just
He's gonna be like the winter. He's gonna be like Bucky. They just pull him out of the ice to film the next MCU movie.
Hell yeah. So I'm excited to so I'm super excited. So we officially have the X-Men coming.
Okay, so this is now more making sense, because also, like, looking to the future, next year is kind of a crazy year, because there's only one MCU movie coming out, and that's Deadpool, which I'm sure will be a direct follow-up to a lot of this shit.
This is what I wanted to talk to you about post Marvel, the Marvels review, is that the future of the Marvel universe. There has been, and I don't know if I want to, do you want to hear the rumors that I've been hearing?
What, the Doom stuff, or what, or like the fact that they wanted to pay, like, all the original Avengers to come back, or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the original Avengers, like, that's an obvious thing. I mean, like, I think it's funny when someone writes an article, like, reporting that a conversation took place, and it's like, dude, I'm sure Kevin Feige's constantly spitballing stuff, but, like, that doesn't mean, like, anyone, like, was contacted, contracts were made, like, money was attached to anything, right? And it's called Secret Wars. I mean, we've thought about that this was a possibility ever since we figured out about the name.
Well, for sure. But I feel like the biggest rumor is the Deadpool Wolverine movie. And what that plot's going to be like, that they're going to time travel to different, or like dimension, whatever. They're going to travel to pull the main Avengers, or, you know, superheroes from different timelines to fight the Secret War.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the Deadpool time travel thing is definitely gonna happen. I mean, like, he was already kind of time traveling with Cable, right? If I remember, I only saw the second one once, but he was time traveling with Cable.
But I think I think
they're gonna make that Hugh Jackman coming back. I think this is all quite apparent. So I mean, like,
yeah,
it seems like that's totally what it's gonna be. It's like they're gonna be moving around between the MCU, I guess, whatever Deadpool's universe is, because I assume his is different, and then the Fox universe.
I think Deadpool's in the Fox universe.
You think he technically is?
Yeah, I think he is.
They made enough, like, direct references to prove that, or is it deniable?
I don't know yet, but I'm thinking he is. But the two main rumors is that I hear that it's going to be Deadpool and Wolverine, buddy cop kind of thing, or I hope it's a buddy cop kind of thing, just kind of threw that out. But, like, them traveling around, pulling all the fighters for the Secret War, you know, just like how they, just like in the Spider-Man animated 90s show where they had at the very end where they had like own like Secret War kind of thing, where Spider-Man gets pulled in and he's like, hey, he's the person who pulls him in saying, hey, find me all your best, you know, superheroes to fight all the villains that are here. So I think it's gonna be the similar thing with Deadpool and Wolverine pulling all the characters that we know, right? Which then will lead up to Secret Wars. Which then the next rumor is that they're possibly thinking about having Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man and Hugh Jackman's Wolverine lead the teams or whatever.
I mean, I think given how much movie that Spider-Man movie made, like, and given the fact that, like, Tobey Maguire doesn't seem like he's doing any other acting, man, if I was him, they're gonna pay him a bundle of fucking money.
Yeah.
To come back, do a couple movies as Spider-Man again, like, great. They totally should. That would be awesome. So I'm all for it. And again, like you said, like it pulls back in a grouping of people who otherwise maybe wouldn't go, because you have these older actors playing these characters. And I mean, like, they already showed Halle Berry is going to be Storm again. I think that's pretty much been revealed.
And that's how you get people's asses back in the seats, Andrew.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I think, I don't know if Deadpool's, I'm curious how much Deadpool references Secret Wars, because even after Deadpool, there's still a lot of stuff before Secret Wars. So, like, next year we have Deadpool, and then it's Captain America. Captain America, and then there's three more at the 2025, I guess. Captain America, Thunderbolts, and Blade. And all of those are, like, unrelated completely, I would assume, to Secret Wars.
Right.
At least I hope all of those are predominantly unrelated to Secret Wars, especially Blade. If Blade is somehow related to Secret Wars, that's not great.
I mean, yeah, we'll see. And again, it was the with Deadpool being a year apart from, or 2 years from Secret Wars. Yeah, who knows what the hell's gonna happen.
My favorite rumor for the Deadpool storyline is that Hugh Jackman plays himself as Hugh Jackman, and that it's not Wolverine. He just plays Hugh Jackman, who previously acted as Wolverine in a movie, and Hugh Jackman goes on a time-traveling adventure with Deadpool.
That would also be amazing. I hands down would watch that. Hands down. But again, so that, again, because we know who Deadpool, and again, maybe because of the actors too, I'm a fan of Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman, so, like, that's going to get me a ticket. Like, I already have my, I'm like, my ticket's already bought, right?
Dude, the suit alone, like, finally, like, it only took, like, 20 years, and they finally put Hugh Jackman in, like, a...
Cool, an actual Wolverine suit. It's like,
come on, guys. Yeah. They had that tease once a while ago in one of the movies where he opened a drawer, I think, and you saw the brown suit.
Yeah,
and then he never put it on, I think. They just showed it at the end of one of the movies, probably. Like, probably, like, the Wolverine, that shitty one that also had Deadpool in it.
Yeah. But hey,
but yeah. I think it'll be good. I mean, the MCU needs a little bit of breathing room. Let's let them, you know, I think hopefully, I mean, the crazy thing is like, this is still an entirely unprecedented cinematic scenario. And I think it is kind of like, when you step back and look at it and look what Kevin Feige has built. And also, oddly enough, I don't know if you knew this, like, he originally built a lot of these relationships through, like, producing and working on the Fox X-Men movies. Well, yeah, he had a big hand, I think, to play on those movies, which is probably very beneficial for pulling them back in. Into the Secret War stuff.
Yeah.
That was where I think he learned how to do some of this stuff. Yeah. So, like, I think it's great to give him, hopefully, some time to think about the next couple of years and kind of, like, decompress some things a bit. But also, it's just, like I said, it's super important to remember. We're, like, what are we in? Like, 25 movies in? And the fact that they're still commercially viable, like, it's completely uncharted territory that they're in, and they've been in uncharted territory for a long fucking time.
I mean, we'll see how far this goes, man. Maybe we'll be again in our 40s and still talking about this stuff, you know.
It's very possible.
Yeah,
I mean, by the time they get to Galactus, who knows.
God, just give me, I just want Doom and Galactus, just give me those, you know, some of the coolest villains there, and good villains. Like, I'm hoping that Dr. Doom is tied in somehow in, like, Deadpool or whatever. That'd be kind of cool to see him tied in.
This point, I would just appreciate a reference of Latveria. Like, that's all I want.
Yeah, something. Just give me something. The only thing for Galactus is that I hear that Antonio Banderas might be the one playing Galactus. But that's all.
Is it just going to be, like, a huge version of Antonio Banderas? Like, no CGI, just, like, a planet-sized Antonio Banderas, like, eating planets?
I'll take it. That's fine. I like Antonio Banderas. So, let's just do it.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, I feel like that should... any final thoughts? Should we wrap it up?
No, I think we wrap it up. I think it's good. It's I think you know this was a you know it's clearly not the high of the MCU, but I think you know I think there's still clearly steam in the engine. So
yeah, and right now we're in a weird phase of like the awkward like growing building up phase again. So it'll take time, but like again, 2024 looks promising at least with Deadpool Wolverine.
And don't forget, Andy, we get to see Aquaman at the end of the year. So. God, that's gonna be exciting.
It's gonna be the best DC movie. Just watch, just wait and see.
It probably will be, which is sad because yeah. The bar is really low.
I mean, Jason Momoa, he's just watchable and just fun. So I'm excited to just you know see him in action. So, but yeah, if anything else, we have that coming out, and we'll you know. Kind of, you know, continue talking about all our pop culture fun here. But until then, this has been I Want to Talk Movies. My name is Andy.
And I'm Andrew. See you guys next time.